Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College presents Liberty Mail with the student fellows of Faith and Freedom.
Hello and welcome to Liberty Mail. I'm Grace Riley.
And I'm Katie Kenline.
And we're coming to you from the Confronting Antisemitism Conference here at Grove City College.
We're excited to bring you exclusive interviews with conference speakers, and we hope you enjoy this series.
Hello and welcome to Liberty Mail. My name is Grace Riley, and this is a special edition here at the Confronting Antisemitism Conference. And I'm joined by Paul Packer, who just spoke this morning here, and he spoke about where he was on October 7th, but he is the former chairman of the United States Commission for the Preservation of American Heritage Abroad, and also has written for the American Spectator, Jerusalem Post, and really happy to have him join me today. So thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Grace. What an amazing conference, and thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to start, can you speak a little bit about the work that you did for former President Trump?
Sure. I had an amazing opportunity to be appointed by President Trump to chair the United States Commission for Preservation of America's Heritage Abroad. It started, was into law under President Reagan, but it was really enacted to make sure that never again really meant never again, and that the atrocities of the Holocaust that would happen in World War II would never be forgotten, not by people here in America, but for sure what had happened in the rest of the world and in Eastern Europe, that those countries would not just whitewash or rebuild over cemeteries, to make sure that everything was preserved. And I had this tremendous opportunity to go and have many, many, many cemeteries preserved, old synagogues, but also a lot of your audience might actually know Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was hung in a concentration camp named Flossenbürg, and we actually had put a big memorial up for him in Flossenbürg, and we actually brought the youngest Jewish survivor of the Flossenbürg work camp back with us at the time, which is 74th annual memorial of the liberation of the camp. And in the beginning, he said, Paul, he goes, why are we doing this? Why are you going to be honoring somebody who was there for one day and was hung? He goes, I was there for 3 years, and my whole family got wiped out. And we said to him, I said, listen, I grew up in a Jewish religious background. I went to yeshiva. I never heard of Flossenbürg. I knew of many other camps. And I said, let's just see how this turns out. And we had about 900 other people there, Ambassador Richard Grinnell, who was the ambassador to Germany under President Trump at the time, had come, and he was actually a very, very big fan. We spoke, and afterwards he said one thing to me. He said, I never thought 74 years ago the United States of America would rescue me, and I never thought 74 years later that the United States of America would make sure that I would never be forgotten. And that's just something that was amazing. A Wall Street background, but I could just say the 4 years doing this under President Trump was probably the most rewarding 4 years of my life and my career so far. And it's really been great. But
thanks for sharing that. That's really an amazing story.
The commission, extremely impactful. Amazing. I mean, the commission under President Trump did amazing things, and we were able to do it because we had a really strong president. It's not because I walked in and I said, hey, I'm here. Hey, guys, do this. But they wanted to do things, and not sure if they wanted to do things for the right reason. I hope they did. But they wanted to do things because they knew we had the strongest president this country has ever had in President Trump, and we were able to get a lot of stuff done.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the most, in a sense, underrated things about him, the work that he did in the Middle East, where that by far is one of his biggest accomplishments, at least. Really
huge. It's just amazing, and anybody else, there would have been Nobel Peace Prizes that would have been
exactly.
Hanging. He would have gotten 5 for all the countries, but it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It was looked over, but it is what it is.
That was, I think, an astounding, amazing part of his presidency that should definitely be more of a focus than it's been. But just moving on a little, so especially given all that you've spoken about, and you've been to Israel many times and are going back even, as I understand, obviously October 7th was horrific and horrible. And you were actually in Israel on October 7th. Can you share where you were when the horrible attack happened?
Sure. I mean, I try to take my family to Israel every holiday and to celebrate as, the old Old Testament says, you know, you go to Israel on these three holidays, ascend to the Temple Mount, ascend to Jerusalem. And we do that, actually. We're in Jerusalem, and on October 7th, we were in Jerusalem. It was the holiday of Simchat Torah, the celebration of the accumulation of the ending of reading all the five books of Moses. And it's a celebratory time. You dance with the Torah scroll, and it's a festive time. And that day, I was by the Western Wall, sunrise services, and, you know, just about 7 o'clock, someone tells our group that we're praying that there was an attack. No one knew what type of attack, and we kept on, the service kept on going, and then all of a sudden we hear the first sirens. I was kind of a little surprised, because sirens in Jerusalem are very rare. Sirens in other parts of Israel you hear all the time, but sirens in Jerusalem are very rare, because you never think that they are going to shoot towards Al-Aqsa, towards the Temple Mount, because that's their third holiest part of in their religion. And then there was another one, and, you know, finally I said, you know, let's just go back to the house, and wanted to check on the rest of my family. And then slowly we started hearing the booms, which was the Iron Dome intercepting the missiles, and we started hearing helicopters, went on the porch and started seeing 2x2 Apache helicopters and Blackhawks going down south, so we knew something bad was going on. Later that afternoon, my family, we went to go have a festive meal, a holiday meal. We were invited to our former ambassador, David Friedman, and Tammy Friedman's house. We went there, and, you know, we were both saying, hey, holy cow, have you even heard the bits and pieces about what's going on? And we didn't know how bad it was. But once the holiday was over and we were able to check our cell phones again, because during the holiday we don't have cell phones, don't use electronics, no TV, no radio. So we were kind of in the black. We were kind of in the dark. We were trying to hear little pieces from maybe some people who weren't as observant, but no one really knew how bad it really was. And, you know, afterwards it was become one of the darkest days, as everyone says, the worst killings of Jews since the Holocaust. And failure, no matter what it is, that will be dealt with eventually. But right now, the biggest concentration is that Israel has to wipe Hamas off the face of this earth and get the hostages back.
Absolutely. And just going off of that, how important is it that we elect the right leader in the right administration in November to be able to handle things like this?
Oh, God. Trump 2024, there is not even a question that this world needs a strong leader. This world needs a strong leader, not anywhere else in their own country, but this world needs a strong leader in the United States of America. You know, peace through strength is something we've heard a lot. We were feared. We were feared from 2017 through beginning of 2021. We're not anymore. You know, as President Trump always says, this never would have happened. It wouldn't have. I really believe it wouldn't have happened. They would have been scared. Iran was bankrupt. Iran was choked. They weren't able to
settle.
Well,
we can even see that. We can see that in the evidence of what was taking place in the Middle East then. And then following, whenever President Biden took office, there was a shift there. The Middle East, but
it was
otherwise.
Very easy. Just follow the money. They were able to start selling their oil again. They've got a couple $100 billion in the bank account right now. They're saying we're not fighting the war. They are. Their proxies are fighting the war. The Houthis. Who the hell knew what the Houthis were before the last couple of before the last couple of years? Yeah, you mentioned the Houthis in America. Someone would have said Hootie and the Blowfish. No one would have known who the Houthis were. But you have all these different proxies right now that are working for Iran.
Oh yeah, and it's no joke. Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of it's
everybody,
all
Islamic
connected.
Jihad. You
of
have
course.
The people of Israel right now are living. Thank God for the technology, for the Iron Dome, and many other things that Israel has protecting it. Besides God, we have to not only thank Israel's technology, but America's support. And it's more. It's, you know, what the Democrats don't realize, that it is so important to America to give that aid to Israel, because every dollar that is given to Israel for military support gets spent back in America. That is MAGA. That is giving employing. That is giving jobs. That is giving, you know, revenue to all of these American defense companies. And all the technology, when Israel upgrades that technology, upgrades those weapons, that technology gets shared with the United States. Israel is the United States' cheapest R&D center in the world because the money's going to them. They are buying everything from the United States, upgrading it all, and sharing all that with us. So it's the best relationship in the world. And for the United States now to be throwing Israel under the bus.
Absolutely. Yeah. And for the people, too. So there are obviously people who make the argument of, well, we should only do what benefits us. As you just explained, that shouldn't necessarily be the reason. But that, as you explained, this is a relationship that benefits both. And it's also important to note that Israel's not asking for much, in a sense.
Israel's not asking for boots on the ground.
Exactly. No boots on the ground. And even looking at the budget, the amount of money that we give them compared...
Israel's budget is $3.2 billion. We've given $60-70 billion unaccounted for to Ukraine.
And looking at the time spans is especially interesting because over the course of Israel's existence, the amount of money that we've given them is pretty close to what we've given Ukraine in just the past few years.
So, and we have no idea where that's gone or it's
exactly
been spent.
So looking at that too, I don't think people
or we
understand.
Actually do. Some of those weapons were used against Israel by Hamas on October 7th. So we know where those weapons went. They were sold to terrorists.
Yeah, exactly, which is a serious problem, obviously. But thank you so much for joining me. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you and to just hear your perspective on these things that are so important.
Thank you, and thank you for all you're doing, and God bless you, and God bless America.
Same to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
For more information on the Institute for Faith and Freedom, visit faithandfreedom.com.